So if I were to ask you, what is the central mystery of our faith? What is it that we believe that rests at the very center, the very core of our belief? Perhaps you might say the Holy Eucharist, the source and summit of our faith, or maybe the Incarnation, the Son of God becoming man, or perhaps you might say the Paschal mystery, the death, resurrection of our Savior, Jesus. As important and necessary, we can say these mysteries are, what the Church teaches us as the central mysteries of the faith is the great solemnity we celebrate today, the great solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity. The Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches us this is the central mystery of our faith. It's the central mystery of God, his very self. And this is the mystery that sheds light on all other mysteries. This mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. And this doctrine, this dogma, which describes God in his very essence, the very nature of God, three persons, one nature, not three gods, one God, but three persons. This is what we're focusing on today. This is the mystery that Mother Church gives us to celebrate. And unlike almost every other feast that celebrates an historical event, a point in time that something happened, whether it be the incarnation or the birth or the death of a saint or the sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost or the Assumption of our Blessed Mother, all of these events in time that took place, normally that's what we're celebrating when we celebrate a feast. Today, there's not necessarily an event that we're celebrating. We're celebrating the very nature of God, who he is in his very essence. And in seminary, we have a whole semester course just on the Trinity. And it's a basic course that barely gets to the depths of the heart of this magnificent mystery. And so there's no way possible that I could do it justice in this homily. And besides, it takes a foundation in philosophy, a study of philosophy in order to prepare us so that we know what we mean when we say person and nature. When we talk about essence and substance, these words have very specific meaning. And sometimes in our common language, we use these words, and when we have that notion in our mind, it kind of distorts the truth of this mystery of the Trinity. Three persons and one God. Three persons, one nature. We, as human beings, have an experience of one nature, human nature, and one person, me. God has one nature, divinity, and three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And sometimes we can get caught up in the math problem. How does 1 plus 1 plus 1 equal 1? And we can get lost and distracted by these necessary aspects of this doctrine. But there's more to it than that. I mean, this is a divinely revealed doctrine, dogma. We wouldn't know this unless God himself revealed it to us. So there's something more to it than just being able to describe what the Trinity is. There's something more to why Mother Church wants us to celebrate this feast day today. Because it gets to the very heart of who God is. We heard in that gospel message that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. And if we believe, we are saved. If we don't believe, we are condemned. That's St. John writing. In St. John's letter, he tells us that God is love. So it's not so much that God so loved the world that he responded in a certain way. God is love. So when we say God is three persons in one nature, there's a direct correlation to the statement that God is love. There's something about those three persons in the oneness of God that relates to God being love. And this is the mystery that Mother Church wants us to explore. This is the mystery that Mother Church wants us to appropriate, to take into ourselves, to let it become the reality, let it become the central mystery of our faith, the light of our life that shines light on the rest of our world. God is love. So what does that mean? Does that mean that God looks kindly upon us, as we heard in that first reading, that if we pray hard enough, like Moses did, that he will relent from his anger and his wrath and be merciful and generous? The word in Hebrew is hesed, H-E-S-E-D, which is that faithfulness, that mercy that comes from a covenant, that no matter what, you won't turn your back. That's who God was. That's who God is. But it was an incomplete notion of who God is. Just someone who's able to have his wrath, someone who's able to look kindly. God reveals himself to us in sacred scripture. It began in the very first pages of Genesis, and all throughout the Old Testament, God was slowly revealing himself to us. And then finally, as we read in Galatians, the fullness of time, God became man. And then as we celebrated last week, Jesus, the Son of God who became man, ascended to the Father and sent forth his Spirit to live within us. As the fullness, the completion of the revelation of who God is in this Trinity of persons. God existed before creation. So God didn't become love once there was a creature to love. God is love before creation. It's his very essence to be love. And just for us, we need an object of our love. It means nothing to say Father David loves. I need to love something. Whether it be my parish, the liturgy, my phone, the pizza, Oreo cookies, whatever. I need something to love. There needs to be something to receive my love. And so just in that phrase, we know that the love is only true if the thing that I love can actually receive it. So I can't really love my phone. I can't really love Oreo cookies, although it's hard not to. But the true object of my love must be another person. That thing, that person can receive my love. And then the proper response of true love is to return that love. And if we can understand this in somewhat in our limited, sinful capacity, that's what we talk about when we say that God is love. That God in himself had something to receive his love. And then that thing that received his love was able to return that love. And God is perfect. God is complete. So God loved completely. God loved perfectly. And so when we say God as Father loves God the Son, it's that complete and total exchange of persons. That complete and total gift of self from the Father to the Son. The Son receives that love and then returns that love. And that love is so real, so complete, so perfect, we say that it's a third person, the Holy Spirit. The reality that exists between the Father and the Son is a reality that we call a person. Now, I hope in some way this is kind of blowing your mind. Like this is more than you can kind of take in, because it's supposed to be. When we say that this is the central mystery, when we talk about mysteries in the church, it's not like a murder mystery you watch on TV or you read a book. The mysteries of our faith are those revelations of God that are greater than we could ever comprehend, but what we do comprehend, we can know fully. The light that this mystery gives light to everything else, much like the sun gives light to the world. But if we try to look directly into that source of light, it's black. We go blind. We can't fully comprehend the true nature of God by looking directly at Him. He reveals Himself to us through the things of the world. And perhaps the greatest sign, well, the greatest sign of this love is given to us on the crucifix. But again, that's kind of distant from us. We can look at it, we can pray about it, we can read it, we can meditate on it, and we can kind of understand. But it's the love between a husband and a wife that Mother Church has given us as the most clear icon, the most clear image of the love between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And again, with our limited, incomplete, imperfect selves, you know the reality that exists between a husband and a wife. We can say there's a me, a you, and a us. There's a reality that exists in a married life. And if we can experience that in some limited way in our human nature, that's the reality that we're looking at when we look at the Trinity. So we have the lover, the beloved, and the love between them. And in the married life, by God's grace, that love is so real. You know, we say in 9 months, it'd be really, you have to name it. That's the reality of the love. That as the Father completely gives Himself to the Son receives and completely returns that love. Those of you who have responded to the call to married life, that's what your life is supposed to be about. And when we look to the crucifix as that, the perfect sign of that love, your love for your spouse should lead to death, the death of yourself. But we know from the cross that that death really means life. And that's what that's the call you've answered. And because of that complete and total free gift of oneself to the other, holding nothing back, this is why Mother Church clearly teaches about artificial contraception. That in that marital act, nothing can be held back. One must be given freely. One must be received freely. Because you are mirroring the Trinity in your married life. That's the answer, or that's the call you've answered when you said, I do, at the altar. You said, I do. I want to be an icon of the Blessed Trinity to the world. And even those of us who make promises of celibacy or the religious life of perfect continence and chastity, there's still a dying to self for the sake of the other. I laid my life on the floor a little over a year ago for each one of you to give myself completely to Holy Mother Church so that you could go to heaven. A husband and a wife die to themselves so the spouse and their family goes to heaven. Those of us in the religious, we die to ourselves so that you can go to heaven. This is what this is all about. This is the mystery that we're celebrating today. It is bigger than our minds can really comprehend. But we're called to love. And because we can't do it on our own, God chose the perfect sign of His love was to reveal Himself to us. Just like when you fall in love and you gradually reveal yourself to that person, God gradually reveals Himself to us. And then at one point, you give yourself completely, totally, freely to the other. God did that when He revealed the Holy Trinity. The complete, the deepest secret of Himself He gave to us so that we would have a model of love, so that we would know what it means to say, love God with your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That it's not just an emotional reaction to someone who does something nice for you. That your emotions have no part in it. That you choose to give yourself completely. And you choose to receive the love completely. This is the nature of the Holy Trinity. And this is what Mother Church wants us to meditate upon. And not just today, but every day. So this central mystery of our faith becomes the central mystery of our lives. And this is a hard one for us to grasp these days when our world is so me-focused. When everything I do is for me and for my pleasure. When I can't subject myself to anything that doesn't Anything that upsets me, I have to close it out. I mean, we see the nonsense on college campuses. We can't have any contrary speech. But I can't have any commercials on my iPhone. I can't have any commercials on my iPod or on my Netflix. I can't be interrupted with anything that doesn't give me immediate gratification and immediate pleasure. If my news feed gives me something I don't like, I block it and unfriend it. We live in a world that does not want to come outside of ourselves. We live in a self-gratifying world. And so the mystery that the church gives us today is there to force us outside of ourselves. Because in John's gospel, and the gospel we heard today, when he says, if you believe, you're saved. If you don't believe, you're condemned. It's not like God is a judge and he's condemning us. If we don't accept this truth, then we are self-condemned. We live in this prison of self that will gradually kill us, kill our soul, and we end up in hell. It's only through this life-giving gift of self, of one to the other, that we are saved from the prison of sin. It's only through our life trying to imitate the life of the Holy Trinity that we can ever be the human being that God created us to be. This is a grand mystery. It's the central mystery. But God revealed it to us because he is love. And he wants us to love him in return. Will you say yes?